Well, I want to welcome those who are joining us online today, which is actually everybody today, other than those who are joining us over at the West Side. Thank you for being with us for this worship service. Before we get into the message today, just want to remind you that we are just about two months away from our very first COVID Christmas. I'm sorry I'm missing out on all the groans right now. But maybe this year, instead of all the extra stuff that we try to cram into the Christmas season, maybe we'll be able to focus more on what Christmas is supposed to be all about, which is the birth of Christ. And we're going to get to anxiety in a moment, but I want to let you know that next week we're going to be starting a new series called The Genius of Gratitude. And we're going to need some gratitude as we get past our presidential election. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, not some, not a few, not even most, but all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we're going to spend 4 weeks talking about the benefits of thankfulness, of gratitude in our lives, and it's one of the reasons why it's God's will for every one of us. But we need to talk about anxiety on this last Sunday together, and I think that we're all too aware of how 2020 has literally provided one opportunity after another to experience anxiety in our lives. From a deadly virus to serious racial and civil unrest to a very heated presidential election political season, we've had extreme weather events, even some record-breaking wildfires. And it could be really easy just to get kind of worn out from worry. And if you're experiencing a lot of worry today, you shouldn't feel alone if you've ever felt overwhelmed by anxiety. I think almost every one of us has experienced that at one time or another. And so we know anxiety can be a very challenging foe. And if it was easy to deal with, we would have all conquered it long ago. So you need to understand that probably being able to have an anxiety-free life is not going to happen, which means that we need to learn how to not let anxiety get the best of us. That's been the point of this whole message series. And if anxiety causes you to feel uncomfortable at all, that's because you weren't created to exist in a state of constant anxiety. In fact, the Bible says anxiety has negative effects in us. For example, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart." We know from even medical experience that anxiety affects your mind and your body and your spirit. Anxiety can literally take your mind captive. And when it does, it seriously impedes your ability usually to think and reason well. Maybe you've had the experience when you've been working on a computer before, and have you noticed there's one of those moments when you can tell the processor is just kind of behind at the moment. You type some letters, and it takes a few seconds for them to actually fill that in. Well, you know, I think that's what anxiety literally does to our mind. It consumes our mental energy so that it literally slows down our thought processes. And anytime our mind is stressed, it warns our body that we need to be on guard as well. And so we may start to breathe a little bit harder. Our heart rate may increase. Our entire nervous system tends to tense up to the point that maybe even your spirit is negatively impacted as you begin to fear the worst. Well, we've been talking about how the most common source of anxiety is uncertainty. Whenever you are uncertain about some future outcome, what anxiety often does is cause your mind to go ahead and try to finish out the story with endings that are often the worst case scenarios. And when we choose to fear the worst, anxiety usually only then increases, which is really sad because we know from studies that have been done that only about 90% or less, or 90% of the things that we worry about aren't even going to happen. Only about 10%, they're going to happen anyway. Well, God knew that we would struggle with anxiety, which is why he reveals to us in his word how to experience some calm in the midst of chaos. And we're looking at 4 ways we can really provide an antidote to the anxiety in our lives using an acrostic of the word CALM, C-L-A-L-M. am. And so we start with the letter C, and that is to celebrate God's character. Whenever you recognize that God is ultimately in charge and you believe that you can trust him, anxiety is quickly diminished. And so we want to celebrate God's character. Well, that leads us, of course, then to letter A, which is to ask for God's help. But remember, we learned on that week that you need to be very specific when you make your requests of God. A letter L, we know, stands for living with eternity as a backdrop. When you're able to step back and see the big picture in your life, and you recognize that the best is actually yet to come, the power of anxiety is greatly diminished. Well, today we arrive at the final piece of the puzzle. And we're going to see how to get the upper hand on anxiety. We've got to meditate on God's truth. We need to let God's truth have a place in our minds. Now, to meditate simply means to intentionally direct your thinking rather than let it just run wild, which more often than not is usually detrimental to our thinking. And I just want to assure you today that my mind's been known to take a thought and run with it to not so helpful places. And I bet your mind has done the same. I love the statement I came across that says, worry is like making payments on debts that you don't owe. It really doesn't accomplish anything. In fact, Jesus kind of brings that up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, where he says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? In fact, we know worry is probably more apt to shorten your life rather than extend it. So why do we always seek to engage with anxiety? Well, I think partly because worry makes you feel a little better, like you're accomplishing something with all that mental energy that you are exerting, which is why I think initially worrying can falsely make you feel better, because you're giving thought to something that's very important to you. But then it usually ends up making you feel worse because of all the terrible endings that your mind conjures up when you are anxious. Now, if I were to mention today the soundtrack to the movie Jaws, I bet most of you can kind of hear it in the background. Ba-num, ba-num. It's my best rendition. Ba-num, ba-num. Just even thinking about that starts to make me a little nervous. And I just got to confess to you that for the most part, I lost almost all of my desire to ever swim in the ocean after watching that movie. But we know that when you watch a movie, the music behind it actually heightens the emotion, which is what I think anxiety does in our minds. And when we let anxiety run wild, that's kind of the soundtrack that we experience when we're tracking with anxiety. And that's never very helpful. Now, one of the things I bet you're also very familiar with is the soundtrack to the movie Star Wars. You might even be able to hear it right now playing in the back of your minds. And I want to let you know today that that kind of background is what meditating on God's truth plays in the background of your mind. You and I have the opportunity every day to select the kind of mood that plays in the background of our minds based on what we choose to think about. Now, 2 weeks ago in Philippians chapter 4, we found the Apostle Paul instructing Christ followers not to be anxious about anything, but to pray about literally everything. Well, today we're going to find out how the Apostle Paul actually completes that thought on overcoming anxiety by reminding us how important it is for us to focus our minds on God's truth. And so we're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Now, notice he starts this verse out with the word finally. You're really going to get the upper hand and anxiety. It's like he's saying, here's my final recommendation to you. And basically, what the Apostle Paul and really many of the other biblical writers want us to understand is that it's important to practice thought management. Thought management. If we're going to be able to neutralize anxiety in our life, it's going to require us to incorporate some deliberate thinking. Now, let me just be clear that I'm not promoting in any way the power of positive thinking, that if you just think positive thoughts in your mind that only good things will happen to you, that's really just a gimmick. Because all of us are going to have some challenging things that still happen to us regardless of the positive thoughts we think. But what Paul is stating very clearly here is that while there are many things that you have absolutely no control over, there is absolutely one thing that you get to decide. You can choose what you want to think about. Now, I really appreciate the word picture that Max Lucado provides for us in his book, Anxious for Nothing. I catch this word picture. He says, you can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You occupy the control tower and can direct the mental traffic of your world. Thoughts circle above you, coming and going. If one of them lands, it's because you gave it permission. If it leaves, it's because you directed it to do so. See, the ideal idea of thought management really is prevalent in a lot of Paul's teaching. For example, he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And see, what Paul understands is that if you don't take your thoughts captive, well, then they can very easily take you prisoner and hold you there. And so if you're going to be able to overcome anxiety in your life, it's important to think about what you think about. See, sometimes we just let those thoughts run around and we're not actually thinking about what we think about. And so do you let your mind wander too much, or have you actually set some selective boundaries for your mind and its thinking? Here could be one example from Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Here's what Paul says there. He says, you need to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, all of us know today that our medical community is working hard to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. But did you know that really one of the antidotes to anxiety has actually been around for thousands of years? And here what I think is Paul is getting at. He would say to us, let meditation become your medication for anxiety. Meditation is the way that we can counteract anxiety in our lives. Now, one of the reasons we know that is because of, again, the scriptures that talk so importantly about this. We know that it's a presidential election year, and we're watching a couple of candidates run for president, and I look at them and I think, wow, what an extremely stressful job. There'd be a lot of anxiety if you were president. Well, how about leading the nation of Israel, for example, into the promised land for the very first time? Talk about a potentially high anxiety, extremely stressful job. Well, that was the task given to Joshua in the Old Testament. And what I think is interesting, here's the instruction that it says that the Lord himself actually gave to Joshua personally, as he was getting to ready to take this high anxiety trip. Here's what he says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Notice he says we're to meditate on God's word. And to meditate means just simply to think deeply or to think very carefully about something. And so biblical meditation is really trying to reorient your thoughts around the truth that God has provided for us in his word. And I need to make it clear that biblical meditation isn't passive. It's something that is very active. Biblical meditation is intentionally and purposely focusing your mind on the truth of God's word. And I mention this because honestly, Christ followers have traditionally kind of shied away from meditation, I think due to the fact that it's a practice that's promoted by many Eastern religions. And in many instances, these Eastern religions encourage you in their meditation to kind of empty your mind and kind of wait to see what fills the void. And that we know can be very dangerous if we just empty our mind, because we have an enemy, Satan, someone who loves to fill our minds with lies. Well, I think it could help us greatly if Christ's followers would reclaim and reintroduce the ancient practice of meditation into our daily lives. Because the meditation mentioned in the Bible isn't about emptying your mind. It's literally about filling your mind with God's truth. And you know, sadly, even today, with Bibles available everywhere, we can even have them on our phone, on our tablets, on our computers, there are very few Christ followers who spend maybe more than a few minutes or maybe any time at all in God's word on a consistent basis. Instead, you know where we're spending our time? We're spending our time on social media, or following a certain news stream on our phone or computer, or any other number of outside sources that usually tend to just kind of increase our anxiety level. It's no wonder that we become so anxious. Well, what I discovered is there's actually an organization called the Center for Biblical Engagement. And they really have been trying to discover and learn and explore the importance of spending time in God's word. And a key discovery from their research is that the life of someone who engages scripture in their lives four or more times a week, that their lives look radically different from the life of someone who does not. In fact, the lives of Christians who don't engage in the Bible most days of the week, statistically, their lives look really exactly like non-believers. Could that be why we live with greater anxiety in our lives? So I want to say to you today, if you want to begin a new chapter in your life regarding anxiety, you need to begin by turning the pages of God's word and meditating on the truth that's there. I think that's what Paul had in mind when in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, why is meditating on God's truth so important for neutralizing anxiety? Well, folks, that's because God's truth supersedes what is true. And we really looked at this a lot last week. We discovered things like, hey, it's true that we're all going to die. That is true. But the truth is, the truth above that is that death is not going to be the end of us. That's why we don't have to fear death. That's why I think it's interesting when Jesus was teaching in John chapter 8, he says, "To the Jews who had believed in him, he said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" See, when we engage in God's truth, it becomes greater than anything that's true in our lives. And I think part of the problem with anxiety is a lot like a wildfire. Now, we've been experiencing that a lot here in Colorado just in the last couple of months. In fact, I just heard recently there was a fire northwest of Denver, and that on one particular day, it was consuming 6,000 to 8,000 acres an hour were being burned, and really it was just spreading rapidly. Well, that's a lot of times what anxiety does. It just spreads rapidly. What I also know is that trusting God's truth, on the other hand, is more like the fire that you find in a fireplace. And there you have to be intentional about having a fire in a fireplace. You have to add wood and fuel. You have to stoke it. You have to take care of it. And so here would be my recommendation when it comes to dealing with anxiety. Whenever anxious thoughts catch fire in your mind, you need to remember to stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Now, does that sound familiar? I hope it does, at least a little. Because that's what we teach kids to do in elementary school if their clothes ever catch on fire, stop, drop, and roll. Now, that's a great plan. Except I don't really know how practical it is, because how many of you can actually remember the last time your clothing caught on fire and you had to stop, drop, and roll? Probably not very often. But on the other hand, how often has the wildfire of anxiety kind of scorched the landscape of your mind? And that's why I actually think it would be a good idea to repurpose this phrase for those times when the wildfire of anxiety begins to take control over your mind. And when it does, it would be good for you to stop allowing your thoughts to run wild. And a lot of times that's just what's happening. We're thinking this, we're thinking that, and we need to just stop and kind of grab control of our thoughts. I think that's what Psalm 46 has in mind when God says to us there, "Be still and know that I am God." Stop allowing your thoughts to run wild. Secondly, drop. Drop the thoughts that aren't the truth in your life. And literally, there are dozens of thoughts that go through your head every day that really aren't the truth. I bet there's been a time in your life when you've kind of thought to yourself, man, I'm such a failure. I can't do anything right. I've done so many things wrong. But that's really not the truth. Failure is an event, not a person. And some of you probably heard about Thomas Edison. He's undoubtedly one of the most prolific inventors of all time. There's over 1,000 patents under his name, including one on the phonograph and the motion picture camera, and probably his most significant, which would be the light bulb. And I'm pretty sure that you're aware that his light bulb invention wasn't an instant success at all. In fact, he experienced a lot of failures. He tried over 2,000 different materials in search for a filament, the correct filament for a light bulb. And when all of them had failed, those 2,000, his assistant kind of complained and said, man, all our work is in vain. We've learned nothing. But that's when Edison said, well, actually, we've come a long way. We've learned a lot. We've been able to identify 2,000 elements that can't be used to make a good light bulb. Well, you know, in order to overcome anxiety, we're going to need to drop the thoughts in our mind that aren't true. The Bible says that Satan he's our accuser, and he wants to speak all kinds of false truths into our lives about who we are, about our relationship with God. I bet there's been a thought come into your mind sometimes that kind of says, you know, God really doesn't love you. And you start to question God's love. That's not the truth. Never believe that. Or God's not aware of what's going on in your life. He's busy with the universe. We know as we go through the scripture that nothing could be farther from the truth. So stop, drop, and then roll. Roll God's truth around in your mind. Because when you do, it can change your whole perspective on life. There's a promise in the Bible that I think fits every issue that we face with anxiety. And if we'll roll that truth around, it can change our perspective. And I know a lot of you are sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, well, but I don't know where to find those verses in the Bible. How can I find them? Well, I would just ask, how many of you have either a smartphone or a computer? You're probably sitting in one right now in front of a computer. And it's pretty simple. I think there's a website you can go to called Google. And if you go to Google and you just type in whatever you're experiencing anxiety about and then put Bible verse that goes along with it, you'll see a number of Bible verses actually show up. And then you can copy those or paste them on your mirror or have them somewhere where you can look at them. But roll that truth around your mind and listen, if you would, to the voice of truth. Because the voice of truth will always help you when you're dealing with anxiety. A number of years ago, the Christian group Casting Crowns came out with a song called The Voice of Truth. And I'm going to encourage you at the end of the message to maybe listen to that at least once today. But the words of that song say, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, hey, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And when we listen to the voice of truth, anxiety is usually going to have a hard time remaining in our hearts and in our minds. That's why I think in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the Bible says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." And I just want to share with you, after you begin to take some time to meditate on the truth of God, then you're going to experience the benefit of what I call five daily anxiety-reducing declarations of faith. And once we know the truth of God's word, we can kind of camp on these things whenever we experience anxiety springing up in our lives. And here are those five things. Number one, I believe God is sovereign. And so I have nothing to fear. If God is ultimately in charge, we really do have nothing to fear. That's why I really appreciate how one author put it. They said, faith doesn't ignore the facts, but it doesn't ignore God either. It confronts those brutal facts with unwavering faith. It carefully assesses the situation, and then it adds the Almighty God into the equation. I believe God is sovereign. I have nothing to fear. Secondly, I believe God is just. I know evil will be punished and the innocent vindicated. I think there's a part of us that's so concerned that the wickedness we're seeing in this world, that it will get its just due. When you read the Bible, you recognize God's going to take care of that justice piece. Next, I believe God loves me, and so I have nothing to prove. You know, some of us have lived under the assumption that we have to earn God's love by proving that we are worthy of that love. And what we've got to recognize is that God's love for each one of us has already been demonstrated once and for all in Christ, even before we proved worthy of that love at all. So we have nothing to prove. Next, I believe God is gracious, and so I have nothing to hide. I think there might be some of you today who are experiencing anxiety because you actually messed up. And you know it, and you're afraid that somehow God's going to find out about it. Well, let me just clue you in. He already knows, and his grace has already been to that place and is able to cover however you have messed up. And then finally, I believe God is faithful. I have nothing to dread. I've lived long enough, and I imagine some of you have too, just to discover that when life takes some of those uncertain turns, that God is with you in that, and he'll be faithful. You really don't have anything to dread. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but life doesn't always go according to plan. We saw that in our own family just 3 weeks ago at our son's wedding back in the Midwest. 48 hours before the ceremony was to take place, we learned that the father's bride had tested positive for COVID-19. And I'll just tell you, in those few moments, a tidal wave of anxiety rushed over most all of us. But you know what we saw? God's faithfulness over and over again. And I learned something. I learned you can actually plan a wedding in less than 48 hours. You don't need to spend a whole year or even 6 months. You can plan a wedding in 48 hours. And it wasn't at all what necessarily we were expecting. But let me just say, God was faithful and he showed up in so many ways, and it turned out to be a beautiful event in a beautiful setting. And see, when you have practiced meditating on God's truth, those five declarations can quickly counteract anxiety. And so as we wrap this up today, let me just remind you, as we have each week, anxiety is kind of like that check engine light on the dashboard of your car. When it comes on, you know you need to take it back to the manufacturer. When we experience anxiety, we need to start to recognize it as the divine invitation to trust God in spite of your circumstances. It's that invitation where God says, you're looking at this and you don't understand how it's going to turn out, but you can still trust me in spite of your circumstances. You know, in Mark chapter 4, we're told that Jesus one day got into a boat with his disciples so that they could cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee was notorious for sudden storms kind of catching those people in boats off guard. Well, that's exactly what they happened to encounter on that particular day. And it says that the sea got so rough that the boat began to take on water. They were in danger of being swamped. And unfortunately for the disciples, through this entire ordeal, Jesus, who's apparently so exhausted from an overwhelming ministry schedule, actually was asleep in the back of the boat. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. I bet the guys were like, wow, I can't believe Jesus is sleeping. And they got more and more anxious. And finally, it says the disciples woke him and they said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Well, we're told that in that moment, Jesus immediately got up. He calmed everything down, even the storm itself. But isn't what the statement that the disciples made to Jesus that day what we often wonder when we get in those anxious moments? God, don't you care? Aren't you there for me? Now, I want you to recognize that after Jesus calmed the storm, he didn't turn to his disciples and say, wow, I'm so glad you woke me up, or we might have all wound up at the bottom of the sea, so good job. Instead, he said to them, hey, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And what I find interesting is that even though Jesus was physically present with his disciples in the boat, the apparent unawareness created by his sleep made them anxious about the outcome of their situation. But you know, the truth of the matter was they were just as safe when Jesus was asleep as they were when he woke up and rebuked the winds and the waves. And it seemed like Jesus was unaware of their plight, but when he stood up, he took care of it. And I think Jesus was preparing them really for a season of life that you and I now live in today. When Jesus is not with us anymore physically. And we just need to recognize that he's always going to be with us spiritually. That's what it's like for us today. That's what we have to remember if we're going to have an antidote for anxiety. And that's why I would just say we don't really have a response song today because we're doing the services online. And so I would just encourage you immediately, I'm going to pray in just a moment, when we get offline, that you would just Google YouTube, the Casting Crowns song, The Voice of Truth, and listen and meditate on what it says to you today, because that's how we overcome anxiety in our life. We listen to the voice of truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence with us today, even though we're separated again in our homes and in our living rooms. Thank you that we can still study your word together and hear what it has to say to each one of us. And Father, I pray that the voice of truth would speak loudly into all of our lives and that we would make that voice of truth available to our hearts and minds because we open up your word, we spend time in it, and then we meditate on the things that we learn in your word. We know that in the days ahead, there will be moments where anxiety will be great. And we want to experience that peace from you that is not really comprehensible, but comes because our faith and trust rests in you. We ask for that, Father, and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.